talking about practice, man.
Yeah, we are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I'm your host, Jero. Got my man, co-creator of the show, partner in crime in the building with me, Derek Isumaki.
What's good, party people?
And of course, the lanky legend, the long snapper himself, Mr. John Thomas Lucan. Hello, sir.
Hello, my friend.
I like that. And returning, we got the producer extraordinaire, the one, the only, Statman Brett.
You got to turn your mic on there, bud.
Yeah, welcome back.
A.K.A. Big Daddy Mac, A.K.A. the Highwayman, A.K.A. the Wheeler Dealer. Can I get a two clap and a Ric Flair? Woo! I am back, baby! Let's go! Statman Brad, back in the building. Let's go!
We need that energy. We've missed that energy.
I have been on one today, boys. I'm ready to be back. Happy to be in the studios. Woo!
All right.
I'm sweating right now.
Yeah. I need a cigarette. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. 4/5 of the TBP crew in the building. It's good to have everyone back. Make sure you follow us on TBP, Not a Game, on Instagram. We are live right now. What up? Gives you a little behind-the-scenes look at what we're doing. And you can pick up on some
or
of the
lack thereof.
Yeah. We actually do have a lot of sports to talk. Before we do this, you know, one thing I never do on this show that I probably should mention is the opinions of this show are that of the individuals of the show and not of KZFR, because we say some pretty wild things. And just to understand, ladies and gentlemen, for the most part, it's just jokes, all right? You can get out of my menchies, okay? I had someone call me a bleeding heart liberal last week. And you don't know how I voted, all right? So why don't y'all just chill out? No, we appreciate y'all tuning in, and we really do appreciate KZFR giving us the room to work with. We do a show unlike any other show on here. It's goofy, it's fun, and we do say some pretty ridiculous things, and we're just grateful for the opportunity. Thank you for continuing to listen to us. It means a lot. All right, we have F1, we have the Masters to talk about, we have some hoop news, we have our foreign correspondent because Brad's here and he knows how to actually work the phones, unlike your boy over here that I've been struggling. We haven't had Aaron on for like a month because I keep messing up the phone lines, even though I've been here for 6 years. It's pretty embarrassing, I won't lie. We have some baseball, we have college football, we have all sorts of stuff. But it is a football Monday, so that's where we're going to start. And we're going to start in an arena that that both John and Brad know a lot about, and that's bad beats, gentlemen.
Yeah.
We had a fun one yesterday. We had the Hail Murray, as it's being called. For those of you who haven't seen it, and I don't know how you haven't by now if you pay attention to football at all, Kyler Murray throws a Hail Mary at the end of the game. DeAndre Hopkins comes down with it over three players. He later said they got dunked on. Crazy play, one of the most insane plays you'll see to end a game. But what happened after that was even crazier if you had Cardinals -6 in that game. Instead of kicking the extra point to go up, what, 7? It would have been, right? Was that
Go up three.
Oh, it was Cardinals -2, was it?
Yeah, it was Cardinals -3.
Thank you.
Oh, I had it at -2.
Oh, I had it at -2.
Okay.
Oh,
well, they didn't make that because they took a knee instead of kicking the extra point.
Yeah.
Looks like you both had some skin in the game here, boys.
Oh, wrong, gentlemen. I had Buffalo +3.
Oh!
Let's go! But that's pretty much my only win this week, so.
Okay. Well, that was a bad beat. You guys had a chance to see the play. I don't really know that there's a lot of talking points here other than it was awesome and the Cardinals continue to impress and awesome play.
Yeah, you just keep waiting for them to fall off and like be the Arizona Cardinals. But every week, week in, week out, they show up against some really, really good teams. They have some comebacks. And they're just all around a good football team.
If you had one guy to throw it up to in the history of the NFL, one guy in that situation, who are you guys throwing it up to? Derek, I'll start with you.
Probably Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. Calvin Johnson had almost an identical play some years ago. Stafford rolling around. Was that against Green Bay, I want to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chucked it up there, and very similar to that, came down with it. What about you, John?
Randy Moss, probably.
Yeah, Mossum. Brad?
You know, I'm going to go with my Packers, Greg Jennings.
What a weird choice. Welcome back to the show. Way
God,
to kill
I
it.
Missed
I
missed you.
Greg Jennings, he wasn't even that tall, and he was a good receiver, but he's not...
For like a year.
He's not known for
his
leaping.
Not for just a year. It was a couple years.
No Donald Driver. God, I'm so glad you're back to be the punching bag, Brad.
Yeah, welcome
hey,
back,
guess
sir.
What? Next week, it's back on you.
Oh.
So I'm here to relieve 1 week. But anyways, right, well, let's continue.
Let's. I think Randy Moss is a good call.
Greg Jennings.
Greg Jennings is a terrible one.
Julio Jones, maybe?
Julio's a good one, except he doesn't score touchdowns that often anymore. So if it was at the 1 yard line, I'd say Julio.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just showing his cheese head, you know?
Always. Yeah. Yeah, always. I get it. I see what you're doing over there, Brad.
I'm a fanboy. I get it. Yeah, I know.
Again, for you bettors out there, I'm sorry. Yesterday was a tough one. If you had the Browns -4, first of all, shame on you for ever betting on the Browns. But they had an opportunity with time running out of the game. Nick Chubb breaks free for a 70-yard, what would have been a score, and then just steps out of bounds. For no real reason, I guess, other than sportsmanship. And I think sportsmanship...
It's a 10-7 game. What do you mean? Sportsmanship.
Especially in professional sports, there is no such thing as sportsmanship. Yeah. It's, if you can't beat me, get better.
Yeah, stop me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you had the Browns yesterday, another bad beat. man.
I had the Texans.
Same.
Let's go.
All right.
I was really, I literally just almost turned my TV off. I'm like, wow, this is how I'm going to lose this bet. And then he walks out. And I'm like, wow, there is a God in heaven.
Yeah, a lot of fantasy owners upset about that one, too. But yeah, just a day of bad beats. Pretty good football all around, though. However, what wasn't good football was that Niners game. They're just too injury riddled, and I'm going to stop making excuses for her. The squad I root for, but the newsworthy piece that came out of that game is Drew Brees, a couple of fractured ribs, and a collapsed lung. He's, what, 41 years old?
Yeah. Yep. He had two from the week before as well that they just found out.
Like, two broken ribs?
Yeah, they had two other broken ribs on the other side.
Jeez.
That they just found out about through this x-ray. So he has four broken ribs and a collapsed lung.
God,
I mean, ribs are broken ribs, man. You're gonna deal with.
Have you ever had broken ribs? They're painful.
Yeah,
I have. Yeah.
Like sneezing, anything.
It's
just
not fun, no doubt. Yeah,
and there's nothing you could do for it.
Exactly. So, yeah, you know, yeah. They're broken ribs. They're just pain. You know,
you just got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at this stage of his career, you know, you got to start thinking with the end in mind. Drew Brees, he's been accurate this year for sure, but he's been accurate throwing 6-7 yard slants for the most part. He's been out without his number one target and one of the best wide receivers in the game, Michael Thomas, but nevertheless, he hasn't obviously, I mean, he's old, you know, and he hasn't been slinging the ball all over the field. And so now we're either going to see Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill next week, and that'll be interesting depending on who they go with, because this is something we've been talking about for some time, right? Is Taysom Hill really a backup QB, or is he, you know, one of these utility players that you could plug and, you know, he can play some quarterback, but can you game plan around him?
I mean, I think we'll see more of Taysom Hill than we usually do. But I think under center it's going to be Jameis. When he did come in for that for the rest of that game, he looked good. I mean, that offense is kind of almost the same as Tampa Bay that he had last year with as far as the weapons and game planning. But I think Sean Payton doesn't need to lean on him as much. So, you know, you're not going to see him, you know, like the Tampa Bay days of just hay throwing it down the field, you know, 40-yard bombs. I think you're going to see, you know, more, what's his name that just got hurt? Drew Brees, thank you.
You're
going to see more of his style passing, you know, slants, outs. You take it out of his hands. He's going to be more of a manager. So I think he'll do well.
Yeah, I mean, if Jameis starts, I mean, one thing we're for sure going to see more of is interceptions. And I am here for the Jameis experience. He's just fun to watch. Both maddening if you root for him and exciting. And I personally enjoy that combination. We still have a couple more football topics I want to get to, but maybe let's put them on the back end of the show because the show is loaded, and I do want to allow our foreign correspondent, when we get her on, to have some room today because, again, I've had a hell of a time with the phones. So because she's back, I want to give her some space. So we'll get back to some of these topics a little bit later. But I do want to hear from my man over here how your weekend went in the world of gambling.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man?
Yeah. Yep. The good old bets. You guys, good old bets. I don't know why I keep doing it, but I do. And it's
called an addiction, my friend.
No, it's just more of an interest that I'm addicted to.
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so went 3-2 this week. Not the worst. You know, it's a winning record, I guess. Well, I don't guess. That's a fact. It's a winning record. But yeah, I mean, luckily the Browns stepped out of bounds. Really, really appreciate you there, Chubb. Denver, God, they are not good. They are just awful. Mm-hmm. Went for the over.
How's your boy Drew Locke looking lately?
He's faded. You know, he's all right. Mm-hmm. Three picks again, but it's fine. It's okay, guys.
That's great.
We're gonna be back. I don't know how the Raiders put up 37 on us, but they almost covered the over by themselves.
It's called being a good team.
They are not a good team. Stop it.
Better than you.
Okay. Brad, mute your mic. This is my time. Buffalo, Arizona. That was nice. That was real nice to see them take a knee right there. The bad beats for some people were great beats for me. So I guess it's better to be lucky than good.
Yep.
New England, Baltimore. Did not see that coming, and I do have to give a shout-out to the friend of the show, JJ. He is a longtime Patriots fan from Boston, and I was just ripping into him about how bad the Patriots were. Put some push-ups on the game, and so I owe him some push-ups now, which is not fun because he never forgets. Miami keeps rolling. Super excited about it. Going into this week, I do have to mention college football this week. SMU. Really? Up 21-0 at half. Minus four, or plus three. Up 21. Second half. Tulsa goes on a 28-3 run. And I lose. I was going to go 4-0 in my bets. But of course, I can't do that because I'm awful at this thing. So this week, we're going to reload. As we say in the biz. We're going to reload. And we're going to win. Really excited about the picks I have. I'm just saying that it's probably not going to turn out very well. Miami at the Broncos. Loving Miami. Hating the Broncos. Taking Miami -3. Kansas City at home. Coming off a bye against the Raiders that you think are good, Brad. Lost to them once already. I think it was a fluke. They're going to come out -6.5 like the Chiefs. And then after that blunder with Baltimore, I just don't think that they're a great offense anymore. I mean, coming off the MVP season, Lamar Jackson does not look good as far as a thrower. I like Tennessee +7. Then we have Green Bay at Indy. Green Bay, I don't know what they were doing against the Jags. You know, coming out slow. But I think with this Indianapolis defense, I think they're going to come out and try to prove a point. I have Green Bay plus 3. And then the LA Rams. It's a good football team. Going against Tampa Bay. At Tampa Bay, I got Rams plus 3.5. And hopefully this week will be better than me than the rest of the weeks. Because the overall record is 33 and 37. Just creeping at that 50% mark. We'll get there. And that's it.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Take that to the bank or don't, and fade John on all those picks and see if you could do better than John. This was a weird weekend for betting.
Yeah, I've just been saying that all season.
Well, fair enough.
Chalking it up. 2020.
We haven't done this in a while, but we did have some news in the F1 world, and I would say sports that are popular in other countries but not America is kind of where Derek shines in his level of expertise. Is if it's popular in Europe, he's probably got some insight. So we had some things happen in the world of F1, and Derek is here to update you guys on that.
Formula One, the sport that very few Americans care about, presented by Derek Usumaki.
That's right, y'all. Formula One.
That's a great intro.
Is quite an amazing sport for those of you out there who are racing fans and are tired of seeing people go left all the time. There's other stuff out there for you. Now, Formula One is dominated by probably the best racer the sport has ever seen. Ever seen right now. Lewis Hamilton. That MySpace selfie-taking mother... Dude, I hate, as much as the greater the guy is, I hate him for his stupid myself selfie pictures he takes of himself shirtless. It's like, dude, how lame are you right now? Well, you got to put these pictures up there of yourself, no shirt on, in the mirror. It's just like,
yeah, you win millions of dollars racing a Mercedes Benz.
You are a god amongst mortals out there in the racing world. You are far superior than everyone out there. Granted, you do have the far superior machine, but at the same time, you still outperform everyone superiorly with that machine. And yet you still take stupid selfie MySpace shirtless photos. It's just like, I want to like you, my dude. I really do. But you make it so difficult.
So you're saying Lewis Hamilton is above thirst traps. They're beneath him.
I don't even know what that is. Like, what are you trying to do right now? Because, like, I'm sure, of course, he's a great-looking dude, and I'm sure he's always all over the place with the pretty ladies and whatnot. But, like, for the most part, most people that are following you are usually guys. Because those are the guys that usually like your sport, and they like you a lot. Now, good for you, my man, and you like to do your voice and put it out there, but I don't need a shirtless photo of you in the mirror to back it up. It's just tacky. That being said, he's a 7-time world champion, and that's something you cannot take away from him, and you have to respect from him. The man has tied Michael Schumacher, the legendary German who thought that record would never be broken. Most people thought they never would. But there's a classy Michael Schumacher, and I always liked Michael Schumacher in this fashion. Was he was always somebody who loved the sport being progressed, people going faster, quicker, more competition out there. So there's a big interview that's out of him asking him if the 7 titles would ever be broken, because he broke the 5 titles that were seemingly impossible to break. But he has done it himself. He said that he's always felt records are made to be broken, and he hopes that they are. And this is what's happening. Lewis Hamilton, he broke him in the number of wins he's taken. He's beaten him in the number of podiums he has. He's done it in far less races. Lewis Hamilton, my goodness, are you quick out there. But I don't want to let it be known. Lewis Hamilton, when he goes up to the race, when he goes up to the grid, you most likely are going to know he's going to win, which sometimes takes the luster away from the race. But anyone who's a true racing fan realizes that winning, it only goes to one person. There's so much more of a race behind that. And those 2 through 10 spots are just as important almost as that one spot is. And there was a great race behind there. In Turkey, we were in this past weekend where it was wet, wet, wet conditions. Some serious WAP going on. Wet ass pedaling. And
pavement. Wet ass pavement.
It was fantastic to see. When it's always fun to see when those hurdles are presented to these such good drivers, to see how they handle it. And you had some amazing starts. got to give a shout out to the man, Lance Stroll, the Canadian, eh? Doing something good for himself right now, getting himself pole position. First Canadian to have one since 1989. And that is Lance Stroll for you. Started in 10th. Granted, he had a fantastic start. Was honestly running away with it because Lewis Hamilton had his terrible qualifying and was qualifying in 6th. So we had a lot of people to get through just to get up to the front. But there is, with those wet conditions, the track eventually dried out. And what happens is that comes into race strategy, when you're pitting, what tires you're putting on, at what point in time you're putting it on. So much strategy goes into it. It is crazy to think what is going on in the race directors' minds when these cars are going around, because they have to realize it's so much. It's like a chess game out there. When, at what tires I should put on, at what point in time. Is the track dry enough to put on slicks? Not yet. I got to put on intermediates. These intermediates aren't lasting long enough. I got to get more intermediates on again. It was a great race watching it that way. But Lewis Hamilton reigns supreme yet again. Got to give a shout out to Lance Stroll's partner in a Racing Point. Sergio Perez comes in 2nd. Fantastic race for that man. But then the big winner of the day, big, big winner, Sebastian Vettel, Ferrari, a man who has had a terrible run, a terrible run this season. A former world champion himself, 3-time world champion, finally able to crack onto the podium for the first time this year. So, and he started in, and I want to say, he was out of the top 10, so he made his way quickly up through the starting grid in the first lap. Super exciting. So Formula One, Lewis Hamilton is your champion. There is still, I want to say, 1 or 2 more races, so the season isn't completely wrapped up yet, but Lewis Hamilton is just that dominant where he wraps it up that quick. So shouts to Lewis Hamilton.
Now if you could just wrap up his upper body with a shirt.
Just saying, no need for the selfies. You know, if you want to get your shirtless self out there, I'm fine with that. Have a model photo out there where that happens all the time, because you do modeling stuff all over the place. And I'm sure you have a stockpile of shirtless photos taken from a professional model, not you taking one of yourself in your mirror, you stupid. Ah. It's like, what are you? Come on, my man. It's stupid pandering, all right? I don't need to see it. We get it. You have a great body. You work on it. I would expect so. You're a Formula One driver. You have to have, like, no fat on you. Okay, you expect it to be as little weight as humanly possible for you. So yeah, I'd expect you to have that six pack. If you didn't, I'd be like, wow, man, get a six pack. You know, I'd definitely body shame you. But you don't need to be body shamed because you have a good body. I don't need, again, stop putting it out there. It's just tacky. So Lewis Hamilton, your Formula One 2020 world champion.
And Lewis, if you just follow Derek's simple rules, you can still do these shirtless pictures. Just be by a body of water. Okay?
Boom. Mm-hmm.
Listen close, everyone, to all the men out here listening, even the boys that will one day become men. There is never, ever, ever going to be a need for you to take a picture in the mirror of you not wearing a shirt. No exceptions.
Unless you have a tattoo you're showing off on your chest or something like that. That's the only way, only time you should ever do it. You're showing off to somebody like, hey, here's my new tattoo. Fine.
Sure.
But other than that, if you're just taking one for, you know, shih tzus and giggles, no.
Couldn't agree with you more, my man. Well put, sir.
Pandering to the worst degree.
So I'm glad to hear there's an exception.
There's always an exception to rules. Don't you know that, Brad? Every rule has an exception.
I had never heard something from you is the point. I knew there was an exception. Just never from you have I heard an exception.
Keep your shirt on, Brad.
Yeah. Yeah, please.
Except by the water. There you go.
Yeah. Well, what even by the water, Brad.
What about a tattoo?
You don't have a tattoo.
You're not walking around again.
Yet. Keyword yet.
If you're not, you can't walk around and like, hey, everybody, here's my new tattoo. No, no, no.
Well, no, no, no. But it's like you take a picture of it. And it's like, hey, look at my new tattoo.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's only time I'm allowing you to take a shirtless selfie mirror tattoo.
Here's the deal.
I'm sorry, mirror picture.
Brad,
that's it.
You ever feel like taking a shirtless picture?
I don't.
Don't, okay?
No, I don't.
And problem solved. And if you need consultation, you have Derek's number. Give him a call. He'll let you know.
No,
what's
I look in the mirror and I see a dad bod. I'm like, no one wants to see that. No one wants to see this chubby belly. There's no six pack. There's nothing like intriguing to see.
Again, even if you did have the six pack, we don't want to see it in a selfie of a mirror. It's just, it's not good, guys.
In general, there's no need to take a picture in a mirror of yourself. Just. For guys, just stop.
It's weird. I don't know what you're trying
to do. No, I agree.
I get it. You might be desperate for photos of you to put on Tinder. I get it. You know, you're going to have those awkward
moments. Keep those on Tinder.
You're going to have that awkward moment. No, don't even put it on Tinder. If you want to actually have a chance, do not put that on Tinder.
No, no, no. I want people to put it on Tinder, so then therefore other guys have a chance.
So they're just like desperate. Like, I've been swiping left this entire time. Here's this Brad dude. I might as well go right once.
Like, he doesn't have a shirtless picture. Yes, finally.
Okay. Well, hey, that might be your only way in then. Hey, there you go, guys.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I want to talk hoops, but we could get there because I actually wanted to bring this up. I was reading a study the other day that Steph brought to my attention, and the majority of kids nowadays, if you had to guess what their number one profession they want to go into would be, what would you guess? Derek, I'll start with you.
It's going to be some type of influencer BS.
Yep, that's nailed it.
It's so tacky. I hate this world we're living in.
So that is the number one career kids between 5 and 18.
Whatever happened to a ninja?
They're actually lacking those in Japan and are desperate need of ninjas right now.
Yep.
I'm dead serious. Like, they, because there's like a big thing of like ninjas doing like performance acts and stuff, and they're like low on ninjas. So
yeah, but they're high on influencers.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, because why does everyone want to be an influencer? Why? Because it's easy. It's like, sure, it's a hard work. You got to be dedicated and put everything you're going to do and be well at. It's going to be somewhat difficult. But it is so simple for you to stand there and just take a million shots at a hoop and pray to God one of them goes in and just film you the entire time. It's just wasting time for people, these kids these days. It's like, God, parents, do better jobs. Try to influence them in a better way. Be better influencers yourself, parents. Gosh, that's what you should be doing.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, it takes no real tangible talent to become an influencer, right?
I mean, you got to do something that's like worthy of me watching your video. Like, you can't just influence me on nothing.
Some of these kids are just, all they do is like a 10-second dance.
No, they're stupid. Don't get me wrong. TikTok is the weirdest thing to me. I don't get why everyone's using it. I mean, it's like Vine again, but Vine at least had some creativity behind it, I felt.
Right.
This is just the TikTok dances. I don't need to see more choreographed dancing in my life, okay?
Yes.
Watch The Sound of Music, guys, if you need that in your life, okay? Come on.
Again, couldn't agree more. So if you have children out there, do a better job of raising them. You know, maybe have them have some real role models in their life, like their parents.
Well, that's a hard thing, too, because a lot of parents these days are bad themselves. Like, they shouldn't have been having kids.
Agreed. And this is why none of us have children.
Yeah. We're smart enough out there to realize we don't need to populate just yet.
Yeah.
Or ever.
Yeah.
We don't know that. We're not yet to determine that part yet.
Yeah. So I'm going to judge you because it's easy, because I don't have kids to compare and contrast. So it's easy for me over here and to be on my soapbox when I don't have children for you to be like, look at what mess your kids are.
Now, I will say, I understand being a parent, toughest job that's out there. You're raising another human life that is trying to become a productive member of society. That is not an easy task to do. In fact, it's the hardest task you have out there.
I'd say being a CIA field operative might be harder, but your point.
Okay, but again, someone got to you that point in time right there, and your parents are of a large influence on that CIA operative to a certain degree.
That's a good
point. No matter what. So your parents.
Yeah.
I'm just simply saying, if you put the D in the V and you get out a B, you better be taking care of that B. I'm just simply saying, okay?
I'm going to die alone.
Yeah.
If you can't take care of the B, then be that way. That's good.
Yeah.
Be alone.
Agreed. So I think we've handled that. I do find that interesting that's what kids aspire to be now, and it's kind of scary, because who's going to help me when I break a leg or, you know, I need to go in for some type of treatment in 25 years when none of these kids want to go to med school because they all think that you're going to make it big doing TikTok dance moves. And I've never sounded older.
I'm just simply saying, I know it's fine. We should be, because we need to be harping on people, because one, kids aren't listening to the show anyway. So
that's a good point.
They're all agreeing with us right now. So amen.
That's a good point.
Yep. Honk if you're with us, y'all. But I will say, it's kind of scary when you think about that, because right now, in 20 years right now, when we, you know, possibly go to war with a large nation out there, and we're going to have the large draft, we're going to have a terrible army out there. Just like, hey, guys, we need you for the army. What are your skills? Well, I look pretty in front of cameras.
Yeah.
And you dance well.
You're going to look really good dying too, my dude.
Hopefully there's a filter for that.
A filter for death.
Yeah,
get that black and white filter in
you
there.
You know, if I die, guys, I want that filter on me quickly. Okay, I don't want them seeing my real light. Okay.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh man. Once again, this is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. And again, I should mention, these opinions that are expressed on this show are those of the individuals on the show and do not reflect the station or the station's opinions.
I've always felt having to say that statement makes the people listening, like, makes me feel stupid. Like, don't, I get that. Like, if you are out there and think that this means I'm talking for, like, the station, then, like...
Agreed. I don't think it's totally necessary, but I do think... when we're telling people to do a better job raising their children, that maybe we should just remind them that this is not a message from KZFR.
And I realize where we are, KZFR. But that's what I'm saying. That's why you should like this show, is because we're not controlled by the puppets. We can say crazy stuff like that.
Yeah.
So freedom of speech, that's what KZFR supports. So in fact, KZFR is telling you to raise your your kids better. That's what we're actually saying right now. So KZFR is 100% supporting our message. Why? Because they support free speech. Amen to that. Honk if you're with me.
I like this honk if you're with me. I really enjoyed this.
It's an LA thing for sure.
I'm just saying, one of these days, I want to be like hearing honks on the road.
I would love to hear that. Yeah. I mean, our window's just open waiting for it.
Little,
again,
little beep beep, little toot toots, y'all.
Honk if you're with us. Yeah. Oh, man. One person or one company that is always with us is Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullen's has been serving the Chico community since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico, and they can be reached 342-1055. Once again, this is Talking About Practice, coming to you live right here in the studios at FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. We really appreciate y'all rocking with us this evening. It's good to have Brad back in the building and just have four of us here. It's fun, man. We missed you. How's it feel?
I mean, I missed y'all. Every Monday, it's been sucking. I've been in my routes in Reading and listening to you guys and just really, really wanting to be here.
Well, briefly, we're going to get into the news here in a moment, but why don't you tell the people what you've been up to, or if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I've got a job. I got transferred or moved to my night shift for the job that I'm working, and I'm also getting my Class A license. I got my test this Thursday. So,
all right.
If I do, again, if you didn't catch from the nicknames, I'm going to be a Freightline driver. So a big rig driver, driving stick. It's going to be great. I'm loving it.
And again, I just want to remind everyone that Brad is the he I'm speaking about, is the only person who calls himself Mac Daddy. And you gave yourself that nickname.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and roll with it. I'm going to let it slide because you've been gone for a while.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm not. It's not your name.
Driving truck.
But you drive you drive a Mac truck, but you're not a father.
I mean, are they calling you Mac Daddy on the CB radio?
No. Is that your CB nickname?
I really hope they start, though.
Breaker. This is Mac Daddy.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like that name's already taken. That's like,
guaranteed.
That name's already taken. Somebody's already got a Mac Daddy name.
I just got a message that we honked. Awesome. I don't know who that came from, but appreciate it.
Yes. Love
that's
honk.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Honk if you're with us. all right. Well, it is time for one of my favorite segments of the show. Each and every week, where Derek gets you caught up on the going-ons around the world. When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world. Breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, I got two stories for you. One of them I got to go on some history with, so I'm going to get through the first one quickly because it's a delight. Now, I've always wondered about you grocery stores. It'd be interesting. I was always fascinated by the fact that there's a lot of nooks and crannies in there, a lot of possible hiding places. You think, grocery store, if I'm ever desperate and don't have a place to live, might be the place I might be crashing at, okay? You got all the necessities you need, toiletries, food, bathroom, and again, nooks and crannies to hide in, not to mention probably loads and loads of Raptor space. I mean, you've seen those grocery stores. Big building, not that tall of a ceiling. So there's a lot of space in between. And that's what my man Matthew Hammer was doing. Living in that Raptor space in his local grocery store. Now, Matthew Hammer was unfortunately found. He had incognito the entire time. But unfortunately took a wrong step, went through the soft part of the ceiling, where his foot was sticking through, where it was noticed by an employee the next day opening up. Now, it looks like Matthew Hammer was in there for quite some time and didn't want to come out easily. After he retracted his foot into the rafters, he refused to come down. So cops had to do what they had to do, and they brought the dog. So, you know, he finally got out, obviously. The dog gets you out, you know. If the dog comes, you're going to come out. I'm just saying. That dog, they're, woof.
Literally.
Yeah. Rough. So, Matthew Hammer, He's in trouble with the law. They're going to lay down the hammer. One more now. The one that really, really tickled my whistle right here. Now, I saw this headline and I was baffled by it because this is not a real thing. This can't be. I obviously had to do some aggressive background research. I do it all the time, just to let you know, but I did it even more so on this in particular news story. Because it seemed too good to be true. Now, I don't know about you guys. Birds are cool. I'm down for birds. People that say that birds aren't real and the birds... Just do a little bird watching your life and realize they're pretty spectacular animals. They fly. That's pretty cool.
They
can fly.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah. Closest thing we got to them.
But if you own one, you're weird. I'm sorry.
Depends on the one you got. If you have a parrot and it says, dirty things to people as they come by, all for it. Okay. But again, yeah, they're weird pet. Like, I hope you have something coupled with it, Yeah. If you just have the bird, if you have, a bird and a gerbil, you're doing yourself a disservice. That's going downhill. Like, you got to add, a cat's a little rough because that just tells me, I feel like you're the granny and Sylvester and Tweety Bird. Yeah. That's what I think of if you had a bird and a cat. So you got to have at least a dog, I feel, to make it up for the weirdness of that. But apparently, pigeons are actual valuable bird. Did not realize that. What are they used for in particular? Not as house pets. No, that's lame. For pigeon racing. What?
What? That's something I can get behind my bets on.
So, I'm with this. Recently, actually, this past weekend, a world record was set for the most expensive pigeon sold for your racing. 1.3 million pounds.
Stop.
What?
1.3 million pounds. That's close to 2 million U.S. dollars, guys, for a pigeon. The things that, shih tzu all over your car when you get it just washed, The ones that stand there near churches just waiting to get fed bread from the lonely homeless lady who's desperate for love and attention. 1.3 million pounds.
What?
Now, pigeon racing, I was like, what is this going on right now? Is this actually a thing? And apparently, it's one of the oldest sports in humankind history. Dating back to 200 AD. Wow. Now, obviously not the oldest, but that's 200 AD, my goodness. Still going on to this day. Now, pigeon racing, very popular in Belgium in particular. That's where this particular bird was bought. Now, to realize, what are these things doing? So, the particular pigeons in particular is a racing homer. Is a type of pigeon used for pigeon racing. Now, these pigeon races are approximately 100 kilometers to 1,000 kilometers. That's 62 miles to 160 miles.
Thank you.
1.6 miles for every kilometer. Now, I had to realize how fast these pigeons go in, because that's 600 miles? I mean, NASCAR takes them 8 hours to do that. These pigeons are able to fly roughly 60 miles an hour. At best, 101 miles an hour is the fastest one clocked. 101 miles an hour pigeon.
Damn.
So pigeon racing, y'all. It's the new sport, guy. I guess not the new. It's been around forever. So the old sport. We're just missing out on it. So if you've ever been missing for a new sport, new excitement in your life, pigeon racing.
So you can make almost $200,000 for winning a pigeon race.
So
the person or race is about 1.3 million on average.
So essentially, like horse racing.
Exactly.
But wow. With pigeons.
Yep. So that price actually makes sense.
I get it. 1.3, that totally does.
If you're making $200,000 a race.
Yeah. That's got to be a damn good pigeon right there.
Yeah.
I wonder if it poops on command, too,
I bet you they have
they're so highly trained, these pigeons.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, if it's a racer, I would imagine kind of like a horse that have a net behind it, right? To catch
it. Yeah.
Huh.
I think all people with horses should utilize
they
that.
They really should.
So yeah, they're just like in a huge cage?
That there's, it's like a
like, how does the pigeon just not fly off?
And it's all trained. They train them through this process. And I think there's markers or sounds or something have in this pigeon racing. Yeah.
Well, it's like carrier pigeons. Why didn't they fly off? It's they were trained to do a certain act.
Yeah.
And they commanded on that.
I mean, so pigeons, as small as the brain they have, they're actually kind of useful in certain things and being able to do designated courses if that's what they're good at, you know?
Okay.
So pigeons.
Learn something new every day.
If you want to get into something new, y'all, that's what I'm saying.
Pigeon Interesting.
Yeah. Also, a guy raises pigeons for this exact reason. He makes about 80,000 euros. On each sale.
Are you talking about this guy here in town?
No. It's in Europe. Okay, all right. I'm just reading this.
Okay, I like what you're doing. I will say, I actually did have a pigeon incident on my a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
Where there was a guy who apparently cultivated a pigeon. One of them got out and landed on my car. And apparently its wing was bound, so it couldn't fly away.
Uh-huh.
And it was just chilling there with me for quite some time before I was able to get the...
owner?
No, I was able to actually free the wing so I could fly off. Yeah.
How mad was the owner?
I found a tag on it, and when I took the tag off, I was like, "Oh, okay, I'm gonna try calling it." And as I was doing, I like kind of pulled the wings and flew off. And I was like, "Hey, one of your pigeons came by," and he's like, "Oh, okay." I mean, I guess I'll probably come back to him. I think that's what he said. He's like, "Oh, yeah, did you come back?" Oh,
okay, that's good. Interesting.
So yeah, pigeons, y'all.
Thank you, sir. That was actually excellent. My buddy Perry, who's been traveling the world for the better part of 8 years, came to Chico this weekend to visit, and I asked him how quarantine was. He's like, "Well, I was stuck in the Sahara Desert eating pigeons." So there you go. And now I need to let him know that maybe one of them was worth 1.3 million euro.
Pounds,
sorry.
Again, it's got to be a racing homer, so it's a special breed.
Oh, right.
Which I highly doubt they're going to eat those. I feel like they would like, you're just a regular, you're not a racing homer, you're just a regular homer pigeon. We're eating you.
Gotcha.
It's got to be pretty, like, got to suck for them, you know?
Like, and this is why you tune into TBP.
Yeah.
To find out things like pigeon racing not only exists, but can be very lucrative. So if you have a child out there who wants to be a TikTok star, tell that child, get him a pigeon coop, get him some Homer racing pigeons, and let this child flourish, okay? And actually do something for society.
You could be a pigeon influencer on that one, too.
Hey.
Go double up on that.
There we go. There we are. Excellent as always, sir. Thank you for that. Let's keep it pushing. I know, let's try to get Erin back on the phone here, maybe 5 minutes or so, give her some time, because I do want to talk about the Masters and, your boy over here, Tiger,
dude.
Getting a 10 on a hole. We'll get to that. We're not going to get there now because I want to talk some hoops real quick because it's been a while since we've talked hoops on the show. And we're one day into the moratorium of, free agency ending. And free agency has begun in the NBA, and already some big players making moves. Headlined, of course, by Chris Paul getting traded from OKC to your Phoenix Suns. Now, Chris Paul, I believe Kelly Oubre, a couple picks were involved, and a handful of other players. I know that one G League dude who has mad bounce. I can't think of his name. Involved?
You have Ricky Rubio.
Oh, that's right.
Ty Jerome and Jalen Jacque.
That's the guy I'm talking about. That guy's got like a 48-inch vertical, and you should look up some of his highlights in the G League. They're insane. However, that's not what I want to talk about. So coming off an impressive bubble run, the Phoenix Suns add aging veteran NCP3 who could still get it done. I mean, look what he did for OKC last year. You were high on the Suns during the bubble,
yeah.
Brad. You hear this news today. Do you think this one move makes the Phoenix Suns a contender in the Western Conference?
I think it helps, but it also hurts that you got rid of Kelly Oubre. I think that was a big piece that they needed on their team to complement not only Booker, but also Chris Paul coming in. I feel like they could have got rid of Cameron Parker. That would have been, I think, a better trade. It would have helped the Thunder, but it also would have, I think, improved the Suns a little bit more by keeping Oubre.
Yeah.
I think he was a rising star on that team and able to help them push through the playoffs as well.
Yeah, Oubre's a long dude, meaning he and he can guard the perimeter pretty well.
Yep.
And he dunks on people just about every other game, like ferociously. And he's just one of those dudes like a Draymond that can guard multiple positions. And he's one of those agitators that, you know, is instrumental in building a championship team. I don't know that the Suns are quite there where they're going to be a championship contender, but I do think they can make some noise with DeAndre Ayton, obviously Devin Booker, and now adding Chris Paul to that lineup. I think they could be a problem. problem and a tough out. I don't know that they go very far beyond the second round, maybe. But still, they haven't been in the playoffs in quite some time since the Steve Nash days. So at least a little more excitement.
Yeah, and don't be shocked if they get that 7 or 8 seed this next year.
Yeah.
I think
the West is just so damn loaded, man.
It might not be.
Well, let's talk about that. So James Harden wants out of Houston. Give me a second here. This could be a grinds my gears because I'm so tired of these players deciding that. Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
You know what really grinds my gears?
These players that still have years on their contract left, and they're like, "Hey, I want out." And not only do I want out, I'm only going to go to a handful of teams. Why do GMs need to keep bending to this? Because if I'm the GM of the Rockets right now, I'm getting Dinwiddie and Jared Allen and a pick. That's probably not going to be that good because the Brooklyn Nets will be good next year. Why would I do that? I have Harden for another 2 years. I don't understand why we keep assuming just because a player is upset that we have to get rid of him. If you just made a trade to get CP3 out of there a year ago, last offseason, because Harden and the CP3 weren't getting along. So you bring in Westbrook in return. You get Westbrook, and now Westbrook apparently wants out too. And so you have Westbrook and Harden not necessarily on the same page. And guess what? If I'm the GM, I don't have to trade either one of you, and I certainly do not need to trade you to the Brooklyn Nets or to the Sixers. I will trade you to whoever's the highest bidder, or I'm gonna sit on you for a year. You still have 2 years. Okay, maybe that was phrasing. I could have done better, but you're still under contract for my franchise for another 2 years. Why am I going to just bend to your and acquiesce to, oh, you want to go to Brooklyn and be a championship contender? Too damn bad.
That's what you get when we give the players this much power. Like, that's what we've done. Like, we as fans have wanted to see it. The NBA did it when they started propping them up and making them the focal point behind the NBA. And we as fans just clamored to them. Like, I mean, we're LeBron fans. We're Chris Paul fans. We're Kawhi fans. We're not team fans so much anymore these days. Yeah, you might ride for your team, but like, my goodness, people are just like, oh, for that one player these days. And we're like, oh, we want to see these guys. They got, you know, we say, oh, they have a limited career. They should be able to go where they want. Well, not really at the same time. Like, there's got to be a give and take at some point in time. Like, yeah, you just signed a legitimate contract. If you don't want that, sign one-year contracts, my man. See what you can get out of life that way. If you want to be able to have your freedom, you can't have the guarantees in life.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So you got to be able to take on that personal responsibility of like, yeah, I'm going to have the freedom of be able to go wherever I want to when I can. But if you don't, well, if you're scared of that and you want the guarantee, suck it up, my dude.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, like I said, we have just kind of coddled these stars so much so these days where, like, they're bigger than the teams.
Agreed. And, you know, Derek, you said something interesting when I was kind of giving you a hard time about not caring that your Lakers won the championship. Not that you didn't care, but it wasn't as satisfying to you. And you said, look, it would be different if it was homegrown talent, but LeBron decided to cape up and come out here. And, yeah, of course we're going to be good, but you know, it's different. And as a Warriors fan, I can relate because that first championship was mainly homegrown guys. Of course, you know, we got a few guys in a trade, Andrew Bogut, we got Andre Iguodala, but, you know, that main core, well, Iguodala was a finals MVP, but the main core, and that was through a trade. And there is just something to be said about having homegrown talent where there's more of an attachment. You know?
I mean, you see that in so much, like, the people that you love the most are the ones that have been in one place the longest.
Right.
Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Dirk Nowitzki. Guys like that are revered in those cities that they're at right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, LeBron, I swear, if we coddle him and give him a bronze statue in front of Staples Center, I will burn that to the ground. it's just, you know, it's unfortunate that, like, we're that's the thing, GMs, their jobs depend on it. Coaches' jobs depend on it. Like, you have to be able to win right then and there. And, you know, we're all just desperate for it. But I can understand what you're saying. Like, that homegrownness that we see these guys come up from nothing to this, it's so much more special because, like, you feel like, okay, I'm part of that. Like, obviously, bringing it back to the Dodgers, seeing, like, Kershaw finally go through that process is, like, fantastic, my man. There you go.
Yeah.
Like, I've been with you through this journey for so long.
You know, you're dying to see that guy succeed.
Yeah.
And when you see that happen, LeBron succeeded everywhere he goes. And he comes here, it's like, oh, nice, you bring your success with you. Good for you. But, you know, it's just not as endearing.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I remember, and you've been consistent on this, because I remember asking you a long time. I was giving you a hard time about you being a Kobe stan and da-da-da. And I asked you, what is it about Kobe that there's just a love for Kobe even before his passing that I thought was not entirely unique to Kobe in L.A., but there's very few other examples you could think of like that. And you said something that I'd never ever considered, and you're like, well, we've been through everything with him. We went through those tough years of not making the playoffs to, you know, going on a three-peat to not making the playoffs to winning a couple to the whole Shaq departing to winning a couple titles to struggling. And he was, you know, the centerpiece in all of that. And you just have more loyalty. And I think so much of that has changed. And I really don't think it's for the better. Even though, you go ahead. You have something?
Yeah, just real quick. Looking at the Nets trade with Harden, I don't think it's going to happen, because right now, their luxury tax threshold, they're minus 272,000. So there's going to be a lot of cap space that they're going to have, because James Harden, the next 2 years, 44 and 47 million in the next 2 years. So that tax threshold is going to hit a premium of premiums.
You don't want to go to New York, my man, and get taxed that way. Keep that 44
exactly.
In Texas, my dude.
Yeah,
keep it
in Texas.
No state tax, bro. What are you doing?
I don't know. Yeah,
you got your jersey retired at a strip club. Why do you want to go to New York?
He probably just feels like he's done it all right now. I've already done the Houston offer me. I got my jersey retired in a strip club.
I mean, I guess it is the pinnacle.
But does he have a sandwich named after him?
He's got to have one. There's probably some, you know, schmuck.
Yeah, you would imagine.
Like, yeah, we got everyone after all the players.
I don't know. I don't even think it's a great fit, because both him and Kyrie are ball dominant players. The only player who knows how to out of those three,
and you have Kevin Durant too, who again likes the ball in his hand.
So. Yeah, Kevin Durant though deferred a lot when he was with the Warriors and would take over games when necessary. You know, but still. All three are ball-dominant guys, and Kyrie and James Harden in particular are ball stoppers. You swing to them, and they have to dribble. They don't play well off the ball, or at least we haven't seen it. And I love when I hear the, oh, well, in Team USA, you know, they deferred a lot more. It's like, of course, because everyone on Team USA is at the very least an all-star, if not a damn near is going to be a future Hall of Famer. So, I mean, I don't... If I'm Houston, I'm like, hey, sorry, my man, you're playing another season for us, and we'll decide your fate next year, but I'm not making a move, and I'm certainly not making a move for Dinwiddie, Allen, and whoever else they wanted to throw in that trade with a couple picks, because Houston's already given away a ton of picks, so they can't really rebuild through the draft. And again, you get Brooklyn's pick, what does that mean? Because Brooklyn, I mean, unless they completely fall apart and everyone gets injured, they're making the playoffs. And they're probably going to be a high seed in the Eastern Conference. So it's not like you're going to get a lottery pick back.
I mean, Houston probably should look to get rid of him because, I mean, James Harden unfortunately suffers from sack, which is really terrible. Some soft-ass chin action on him. So, you know, get rid of that as far as you can. Speaking of sack, Dustin Johnson, he's got major sack.
Oh, like, man.
Dude, he's got some soft-ass chin action. Thank goodness for that beard. I mean, he can really have that all the sack he wants because he does have Paulina, but, you know.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we weren't able to get Aaron again this week because I did want to talk about the Masters, so let's just talk about it now. And I still want to talk about Major League Baseball, too. God, I told you guys I was going to try and stay on top of this show and really keep it pushing, but I failed you, and I'm sorry. So let's talk about the Masters real quick. Dustin Johnson absolutely runs away with it, shooting the lowest score in the history of the Masters,
Yep. Correct?
And gets the green jacket. You obviously watched part of it, I'm assuming?
I watched most of it, yeah. That was the first time I've watched at least three rounds of the four.
Really?
Because I was able to, you know, I'm working at home right now, so I was able to do, it was on my TV the entire time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was actually, same way, I'd never seen Thursday or Friday before.
I never did either, and I started actually watching golf. This is weird what's happening to me, guys. You guys tricked me. You guys, I got the bug now. But yeah, so watching this, were you, first of all, the Masters being in November is just weird.
Yeah.
And no fans being there was weirder than I thought, because I've been watching more golf than I ever have this past year. And for the most part, most tournaments, not having the fans doesn't make a big difference to me. There's just something different. Did you experience it that way at all?
Yeah, definitely. There's so much different quirkiness that goes on when fans are there. And especially in the most recent years, last 5 years, you see kind of this new generation wave of golf fans going there. And it's more of a spectacle. Most people, obviously you want to go to the Masters to watch, you know, the best golf in the world. But people are going in groups and dressing up and having signs and doing all this. It's become more of a festival than mm-hmm. it's become a sporting event. So it definitely was weird. I think the weirdest thing to see was just how Bryson DeChambeau just kind of completely melted down the entire weekend.
No, best thing out there was 10, okay? 10 from Tiger on his back. Yeah,
okay.
He's back. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, let's going into the final round, he's at minus five. Hits the 10 on 13, which is an infamous hole. People have done that before. But to follow up, yes, they have. Look it up. Brad, you're the stat guy. To follow up 4 out of 5 holes right after that 10, birdies.
Yes.
Could have been at minus 9, minus 10 to finish the Masters in a top 10 position.
He could have shot a 10 on 13, which he did.
So, you've never gone in the water before? Please.
Hey, I'm not Tiger Woods, okay?
Yeah.
Please.
And I'm not trying to claim him as back all the time, you know?
Yeah. I'm also not good at golf.
Now, for those of you wondering right there, Tiger, that's not the worst record. Not the worst score ever recorded on the 12th hole at the Masters.
Was it the 12th? I thought it was
the 12th.
It was a 12 was scored on the 12th hole, and that was by Tom Weisskopf in the, I want to say the 1989 Masters, was it?
All right. Thank you, Statman D.
Yeah. It was a 13 at the 1980.
Oh,
yeah. 13 at the 1980. So, but still, 10 for Tiger.
Yeah, it's a bummer to see it. Bummer to see it, because he was playing well all weekend.
See, the thing that really got me was, like, I feel like it always happens with Tiger. Always happens with Tiger. It happened with DeChambeau, too, this weekend. But the moment that started going bad and he had to get into that awkward position to get out of the bunker after he had been gotten in the water twice at this point, and then he's like, how's his back doing? And I was like, sure enough, he's got to bring it up. Oh, yeah, my back. I just feel like whenever he starts doing bad, it's like, it's my back, you know, my back.
Well, and Bryson had one of those interviews as well saying that, he felt sick and felt dizzy the whole time.
Say it before the tournament.
I feel like he should have, he said he had gotten tested for COVID during that time because he wasn't feeling good. I bet you he was like praying, please give me COVID positive. Please give me COVID
and it
positive.
Came back negative.
I want to get it so I can have this excuse as to why I'm doing terrible. So DeChambeau, I mean, the dude.
Oh, you're good.
DeChambeau was just, everyone was talking about him. He was too much in his head. And golf, among all other sports, every sport is mental, no doubt. But golf is far more mental than any other sport that's out there. You're all on your own out there. And when you're by yourself, when you're shanking balls left and right.
Well, and they talked all weekend about how the Masters, and especially just Augusta, how that course is set up. It's a second shot course, you know. And when you're not doing well on the tee box, it's... he was constantly hitting from the pine needles.
Not just from a lot of people out there, the entire field was hitting well from those pine needles. Everyone was recovering themselves. People had some bad tee shots, but everyone seemed to recover really well. Shouts to Cameron Smith, first player ever to go under 70 all 4 rounds in the Masters.
Yeah.
An Australian dude I've never heard of, but half the time I don't hear half the people unless you're, someone actually, it's big.
Speaking of big, Derek, you called golf a sport twice, which was
I was gonna say something just now.
That's a big breakthrough.
Still not a sport.
Also,
very highly skilled game. Didn't even say that.
If formula racing is a sport, golf is a sport.
I never said pigeon racing was a sport. Oh my goodness!
A sport.
We're not going to argue about this because we're about to run out of time.
Okay, just real quick though, for DJ at the Masters,
Gretzky. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, Paulina Gretzky. Yeah, she's a great wife. I'm assuming.
Fiance. Baby mama.
Lowest score. We talked about that. Lowest score, minus 20 ever at the Masters. The first world number one ranked golfer to win the Masters since Tiger did it in 2002.
Hmm.
The biggest stroke gap from first to second since Tiger did it in 97. And the fewest bogeys at the Masters since Nicklaus in 76.
So, to everyone out there with the bad sack, you too can win the Masters if you just dedicate your life.
There you go.
Yeah. And, Brooks Koepka, keep talking crap.
Yeah.
Because ever since he talked, ever since he was talking smack on Dustin Johnson, he has been doing nothing but winning tournaments.
I wish DeChambeau beat him. That would have been great.
I don't like DeChambeau.
I don't like him either because that stupid little cap he wears. Come on, my man.
Real quick before.